Our Father, thank you for that great song that was just sung to us. We thank you for Jesus. We know, even though he was came into our world as a helpless little baby, we know that he is the eternal Son of yours, who's always been and came into our world, and now is the King of glory in heaven, and has the rule and the reign of everything. And we thank you that Jesus is just no ordinary baby. And we thank you so much that we can sing his praises this morning, just as all heaven sings his praises too. Well, thank you, Father, for the passage of Scripture we'll be looking at this morning. Thank you for this lovely passage in Luke 2 concerning the birth of your Son. I ask that you would minister to us as we look at it now. I thank you that your word is inspired, it is eternal and absolutely truthful. Thank you for how it's just so amazing to have your word in our hands. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is the day that we receive gifts, don't we, from our loved ones, family and friends. I hope you're going to get a few gifts. You might already have had a few gifts already. And just to let you know, I got a gift from my brother John and his wife Jackie, and here it is here. And I just thought I might open it in front of you all. You know, it's lovely getting gifts. All right, here we go. It's a nice big gift. You know what it might be? You won't believe it. There it is, look. If you don't know what it is, it's made by steel. It is a chainsaw. All right, it's a mini chainsaw, a real chainsaw. All right, I better... Great gift, John and Jackie. Excellent. Oh, I can keep this for later on. Yeah, for when we have our Christmases, we throw paper at people. All right. Now, I did that because it's a great gift, but I want to tell you straight away that I know John and Jackie's great gift, but that is next to nothing compared to the great gift of God's Son to the world. And I hope you all know that. I hope you know that it's incredible that we have been given the incredible gift of Jesus to our world. Have you been thinking about it? I hope you have, leading up to Christmas and even on this day, giving thanks to God for the greatest gift, the gift given in such grace. So I'm just going to read to you an Old Testament prophecy written 700 years before Jesus came. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us." Listen to that language, given. And how do we know that this prophecy is about Jesus? Because it goes on to say, "And the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Of course, that verse is about Jesus. And look what it says, that he would be given to us. And then, of course, we have that most famous verse that I quoted earlier, or part of the verse, John chapter 3, verse 16, that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." For God so loved the world, so loved us, that he gave his one and only Son for us. That is just incredible. What a gift, beyond compare. On Friday, this Friday gone, Colin and I had the privilege to see Betty Follin in a nursing home. And we had to talk to her via tablet, not an electronic tablet, but by... you know, the white thing with the ink. And we're doing that, and I thought halfway along that I'd write John 3:16 out for her. So I only got "for God so loved" before she then continued with the rest of the verse, because she knows it so well. And I never forget this. It really touched me. And after she quoted the verse, she then said to me, and she actually looked at me, and she said, "What man would ever give up his one and only son?" And then she said it again, "What man would ever give up his one and only son?" And I thought, the way she said it was like so profound, how she said it. And it just hit my heart. No one would. No one would, but our God did. Because of his great, great love for us. And why Jesus was given is extraordinary. The reason why he was given and why he came into our world, why the eternal Son of God, co-creator with the Father, why he left in praises of angels and came to our earth so humbly, is incredible. I wish the whole world knew this. How incredible it was for Jesus to come with such a purpose. And of course that purpose is made clear at his birth by the angel who came and spoke to those shepherds in some hills near Bethlehem. And so we're going to this morning look at this incredible declaration by the angel to the shepherds about why Jesus came in Luke chapter 2, 8 to 14. But let's start off by reading Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And it says there, while they, that's Mary and Joseph, while they were there in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and they wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And I think I shared last Sunday morning how I just find it extraordinary that the birth of Jesus is written so plainly. There's nothing spectacular here. And it just reminds me of how Jesus chose, and God the Father chose, for Jesus to come so humbly into our world, so quietly, so gently. He comes into a town called Bethlehem, not the big city of Jerusalem. He is born not in a palace, but where? In a stable. That's Jesus coming into our world. Wow. There's no Hollywood sort of drama here. It comes so plainly. And yet, God in heaven does something spectacular. The very moment, the very night that Jesus is born, we go on to read of something that happened. So let me read now verses 8 and 9. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. So there they were, these shepherds. They're lowly kind of people back in Jesus' day. And they're looking after their sheep around the hills of Bethlehem. And then verse 9 says, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Well, I always love to picture myself in these stories, so I've got to remember, it's pitch black, it's dark, it's night time, when all of a sudden an angel from the presence of God comes down right before the angels, and the whole sky is lit up. Can you picture that? Like, can you imagine how you would feel? It says that they were terribly frightened. I imagine you would be too. I would be. I reckon the sheep were as well. What is going on? And this angel comes down from heaven, sent by God, to these shepherds. And so we read then these most important words that the angel declares. The angel says, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord. Wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Okay, so let me just pick up on something very important. The angel, first of all, says, don't be afraid, shepherd. But what is so incredible is what the angel says next. I bring you good news of great joy. What is so good about the birth of Jesus? What is so great about it? It's what the angel said. The Saviour has been born for you. The Saviour, the long-awaited Saviour, has come into the world. This is good news of great joy. And that's what the angel proclaimed. Can you imagine if Jesus had never come? Do you know what that means? Have you understood the gravity of that? If Jesus had never come into our world, if the Saviour had never been born, I hope you know that would be so sad and terrible for us. It would mean that we would have no Saviour. There's no advocate to come to our defence. And one day we would die and we would come before the God who will judge us. And we will be condemned. Because we've all sinned against God. We've all failed Him. Without Jesus coming into the world, we'd be in huge trouble. And the Bible makes this clear. In one chapter in the Bible, in Romans chapter 3, we read these verses. Verse 10, there is none righteous, not even one. Verse 12, There is no one who does good, not even one. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the angel says, good news of great joy, because a Saviour has been born. If you could understand the gravity and the glory of that, you know, you should not be able to hold back saying, hallelujah. The Saviour was born for us. We had no hope. We were helpless. We were in trouble. But the Saviour was born. What great words the angel declared. Good news of great joy. For who? For all the people. Doesn't mean all people are saved, but all people have the potential to be saved, no matter where you've come from, because Jesus came into the world to save all who would turn to Him. What a Saviour He is. You know, we often think of ourselves as not being too bad. I'm good enough. We often think that, I'm not too bad. At least I'm better than that person and that person. But the reality before a holy God is that we've all sinned, and one sin's enough to mess us up. Just like one hole in a boat sinks it, one sin will sink us. But Jesus came to save. He came to save. And He came to be born and to take on human form. And listen to this. He took on human form deliberately so that He might be a full human, that He might represent you and me, that He might die as a substitute, a sacrifice for our sins. That's why He was made a human. That on a cross He might die and be our substitute, dying in our place, being punished for the wrongs that we have done. That's why He was born, so that we could be forgiven of our sins, be made right with God, and then be welcome into heaven. Hallelujah to Jesus, that He chose to humbly come into my world, our world, and die in my place. This is why He was born. And the key for us is to accept who Jesus is and to believe in Him and call on Him to save my soul. As it says in Romans 10 verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So glad I did that long ago. And I still do it every now and then when I'm feeling a bit down. What's going on? I call on the name of the Lord to save my soul. And as I think about these truths, I think you all would know that we're living in a world where there is more spiritual darkness than ever. There's such great despair. And I look at all these words that are declared by the angel, and I can see one word just glaring out. Hope. There is hope because of Jesus coming into our world. We have hope for our despair. We live in a world ravaged by disease and death. A world where there are many difficulties and such darkness, but Jesus came into our world. What hope we have in Christ. A wonderful hope, a glorious hope. Do you know that hope? The hope of Christmas. The hope that comes through Jesus. And I love how the angel came and spoke to who? To shepherds. Why did God do that? He didn't go to the big wigs in Jerusalem. He went to lowly shepherds. And God always does things for a reason. He went to those lowly shepherds because it doesn't matter how lowly you might be, this message is for you. It doesn't matter how messed up you are either. The message of Jesus is for you. He is your Saviour if you would embrace Him. And this Jesus, it says by the angel, for today in the town of David a Saviour has been born for you, and He is Christ the Lord. And just pick up on those words. He is the Christ, or the Messiah. He's the long-awaited one, the one that God had promised long ago to send into our world. And God was faithful to His plan and promise. This is Jesus. And He's the Lord. He's not just a human being. He also is the King of glory, the Lord. Which means that when He saves us, it's absolute because of who He is. He will save us because of who He is, the Lord of glory. And therefore, our hope in Jesus is sure and certain. Absolutely. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it speaks about our hope there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have hope in this broken world because Jesus to our world. Glory be. And now let me just read to you Luke. It says there, multitude of the heavenly host, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased. So it just gets better and better for the shepherds. What do you reckon? One angel comes down, and now all of a sudden a whole lot of angels come down. The whole sky is lit up with all these angels. And they come down, and what are they doing? They're praising God, and they're saying incredible words. We sort of pick up that they're singing. That's what I reckon. They're singing, singing to God. And the first thing that they say is, glory to God in the highest. The first thing they want to do is give God the glory. They're giving God the glory on our behalf. Because Jesus didn't come to save angels, but human beings. They're giving glory to God on our behalf. I love that. You know, if they're giving glory to God, how much more we should be, because Jesus came to save us. And then I look at the next word. It goes in my translation, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased. And sometimes this translation gets a little bit muddled in some of our Bibles. The best translation I've come across to capture the word here is this: peace to the people who please God. And that's really important, that last bit. There is a peace, a wonderful peace, that comes to us through faith in Jesus. And the two parts to this peace. The first peace is that Jesus brings peace between God and us. And I love Romans chapter 5 verse 1 that says that. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that peace? Peace with God. Through Jesus, we come to experience a personal relationship with God. We become friends with God. We can talk with God and walk with God and know him in our life. It's the most amazing peace that Jesus came into the world to bring us. Do you know that peace? It is so lovely to be right with God. And even when we sin, to confess our sins and to be made straight away right with God, to know him personally, this is the peace that Jesus came to bring through faith in him. But also, Jesus knows that the world we live in is very tough, and he also came to bring a beautiful peace for us in our life and in our circumstances of life. He knows everything about you and what you go through, and he wants to bless your life with a very real and beautiful peace. I'm going to read two verses. John chapter 14, verse 27. Just before Jesus was about to die, that very night he said to his disciples in John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. He knew that we would be troubled and we would be fearful in this world. And knowing that, he wanted to bless his disciples and all those who trust in him with a beautiful peace. Do you know that peace? A peace that's kept you through this year. And what about Philippians chapter 4 verse 7? The Apostle Paul says there, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This peace is beyond comprehension. It's not something you can understand, but you can experience. This is what Jesus came into the world to give. What a peace. An amazing peace. And so as I come to think about this peace, a peace to bless our lives every step of the way, I want to remind you of what the angel sang. Give glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to the people who please God. So this peace we're talking about is only for the people who please God. So who pleases God? We'd have to say none of us do, because we've all sinned against the Lord. Jesus pleased the Lord. He's the only one who pleased the Lord. Remember the great declaration from heaven? God the Father says, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." But you know, there's another group of people God is pleased with. Even though all of us have sinned, God is pleased with anybody, with all people, who would love and trust in his Son Jesus, who would believe in Jesus, who would turn to him and trust in him, who would repent of their sins and receive him as their Lord and Saviour. God is so pleased for anyone on earth who does that. They're the people who experience his beautiful peace every step of their way, and the peace between God and them. And that peace I have come to enjoy myself for many years. What a beautiful peace it is. And that peace came because Jesus was born. He came into our world to give us incredible hope and to give us a wonderful peace. So as I think about what the angel began, he said with these words, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." What do you reckon? Is this good news or what? Is this great joy or what? Of course it is. What good news it is. What great joy it is that the Saviour has been born to give us hope in our despair and to give us peace in our troubled hearts. Wow. And as I often want to think about, Jesus is a great gift to my soul and to any one of us. And we are to receive Jesus. That's the way we are to respond to him. We are to open our heart to Jesus and ask him into our life. We are to call on him to save me, to be our Saviour and Lord. That's how it all begins. And for all those who do, may the Lord bless you and keep you and fill your heart with hope and peace all the days that you walk here on earth. So we're now going to sing a lovely carol, "Joy to the World. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King." Take this time just to share something really important, and I shared this last Sunday morning as well. This for me is huge, and it's to do with those words we read in Luke 2 verse 7. "And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." And if you were here last Sunday morning, you would hear me emphasise those words, "no room." And friends, I don't know, on my heart is this agony that there's so many people in our world that have no room for Jesus. And I hope you're not one of them. And if you are, I pray you open your heart to Jesus. He's the one you need. He's our only hope. He's the only one who can make us right with God. He is the only one. Look at all the prophecies fulfilled in Jesus being the one born in Bethlehem, and look at the miracles he did, look at his life, and he died and rose again. He is the one.
We must open our heart to Him. As humans, we are the ones who want to push Him away. I know that. We want to be in control. We want to have Jesus in the back seat of our car. But He needs to be front and centre. We need to give Him our whole being. I'm going to read to you those verses that we just sang. How silently the wondrous gift is given. For God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. Jesus loves to enter in. Verse 4, O holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the holy angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. It all begins with a prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Please save my soul. I receive you as my Lord and Saviour. If you haven't done that, I'd urge you to do that today. That is the best gift you could ever, ever receive. You are saved from that very moment. And there is one more carol we're going to sing, and I'm going to read the first verse. You all know it. But listen to these great words. In a world of darkness and despair, O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Saviour's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till He appeared. And the soul felt its worth. Because Jesus coming tells us that God loves us. There is worth to us. The soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. When Jesus came, the world changed for good. What a powerful thing God did when He sent Jesus into our world for us.